Well, we've got one of the most beautiful wild things just off our coast here at tropical North Queensland, talking about the Great Barrier Reef. And look, it's been an issue for years, the crown of thorns starfish, the old cots, and it's great to see that there's been some further funding allocated to protecting the reef, of course, as the starfish battle provides jobs, and of course, it impacts on the long-term viability of the reef as well. Cairns-based Queensland Senator Anita Green joins me this morning. She's also the special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef, so it really is her special subject area. Anita Green, good morning. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm really good, Murray. Thank you for having me, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about the special envoy role.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, some 700,000 hectares has basically been protected from the coral-eating starfish. More than 1.1 million cots have actually been culled, stopping billions of potential offspring infiltrating the reef. So I guess this additional focus providing jobs and, of course, opportunities for Indigenous people is really a win-win all around, Anita.
Well, that's right, Murray. And today is incredibly exciting. It's the first opportunity as special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef that I have to announce in money that our government will be investing into the reef. Today, we're talking about $162 million that we'll be spending over the next 8 years to expand and bolster the COTS control program. It's a really important program that works hand in hand with tourism operators to make sure that when there is a COTS outbreak, that outbreak is maintained and we're able to, make sure that there are a resilience in the reef by taking care of these COTS outbreaks. I will say it's really one of my favourite programs because although the starfish themselves are not the nicest things to look at, the COTS program that we partner with Gurumpa, the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, for this program, and they've actually been able to use the program to train Indigenous divers and people in this program. So it supports about 145 reef jobs directly in regional Queensland from Cairns all the way to Gladstone.
Okay, well, look, you know, I think if we can talk a little bit more about the science, and I do want to talk a little bit more about coral coverage in time as well. You know, there's obviously some real positives that we just talked about there. 145 jobs up and down the coast, and of course, you know, the options there for particularly young people and Indigenous people. But can we talk a little bit more about just, you know, because I have heard some negative things about COTS. People say it's just part of the normal routine. These things happen. They come and they go. But the science does seem to show, and I want your qualification, that it's not as simple as that. Even some of the sediments and some of the nutrients actually in the water can actually encourage this additional outbreaks of COTS.
Yeah, look, what we've been finding, what the science says, is that we have a current COTS outbreak. It's the fourth since the 1960s, and it started in about 2010. And it isn't helped by bleaching events or cyclones or warmer waters. But we know that getting out there and having fins in the water, being able to cull them directly, is having a really good impact on the reef more broadly. So you would have seen a few weeks ago, the Australian Institute of Marine Science released its long-term monitoring report. And this report has gotten a lot of news, Murray, as you know. A lot of people have been interested in what it said. And it says that the COTS control program is actually having an impact in making the coral more resilient and making sure that there's coral recovery in parts of our northern and central parts of the reef. What that report also found, though, was that in the southern part of the reef, where there is currently a COTS outbreak, there is less coral coverage. So we really need to get on top of these crown of thorns starfish outbreaks and make sure that they're managed appropriately so that we can build the resilience of the reef.
Yeah, and that resilience moving forward. And look, you know, if I can actually reflect, a story that was actually on our radio station just a week or so ago, we actually had Dr. Peter Ridd on and was saying that, you know, there was no celebration about the fact that the actual coral coverage has increased dramatically right across the Great Barrier Reef. But my understanding is it's not quite as simple as that. You know, Peter's obviously got quite a reputation despite the High Court case going against him as most people will know. But, you know, he's not a marine biologist. What is the latest? And I'm sure, you know, with your position, certainly as the special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef, you'd be up on the latest when it comes to that coral coverage and I guess the resilience of the reef moving forward after the bleaching events.
Well, thanks for raising it, Murray, because when the report came out, there was some different reporting of that was actually in the pages of that AIMS report. And we take, you know, the science from Australian Institute of Marine Science very seriously. And I did actually celebrate, and I was out there talking about how good it was to hear that there had been some coral recovery. And that's a really good news story for the reef. But what the report did say is that some of the coral recovery that has happened is from fast-growing coral, and that coral is very susceptible to marine heat waves. And that's why we say, and we I know this is said a lot, but it's very important to reiterate and make sure that it is clear for people that climate change remains the biggest threat to the Great Barrier Reef. If we see fast-growing coral and coral recovery, that is really good news, but that coral can't maintain the life span if we have continuous heat waves. And the long-term monitoring report that was released that we're talking about, that Mr. Ridd was talking about, hasn't actually taken into account the most recent heat wave that we had in around March this year, February, yeah. March. So we're still waiting to see what the results were from that heat wave. Look, I think more broadly, we're getting the management of the reef right, and we're doing things like starfish control. We're getting in there and dealing with water quality. We're giving the reef the best chance to be resilient against climate change. But climate change remains a really big threat, and heat waves, marine heat waves, remain a really big threat. And that's why we need to get on top of emissions reductions, and that's why our government introduced legislation when we're in parliament to do that.
And look, you know, I am so concerned that you just see this from so many quarters, you know, the misinterpretation of the actual scientific fact, and often for political gain as well. So that is a real concern. And, you know, coming back to the fact that you're up on, with the latest information as the special envoy for the Great Barrier Reef, it's great to actually have this particular issue ironed out a little bit further. And, of course, to hear, we're lucky, because I believe you're not doing the announcement until a little bit later on this morning with respect to the $162 million over 8 years for the COTS control program, you know, to, I guess, basically bolster the economic benefits. And, of course, one of the most beautiful treasures that we have just off our coast being the Great Barrier Reef. Wonderful to talk to you. Nita Green, she's the Labor Senator for Queensland, a local girl as well. Have a wonderful day and thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Murray, and thanks to your listeners. There's no better